Well, praise the Lord. We had a wonderful time in church yesterday, and believing it's the beginning of a new season in many people's lives, having had a great Easter break, going back to work, and for us as a church corporately, just trusting God to do everything that he has planned and purposed to do. Now, I'm not going to repeat the whole sermon, but God was speaking to us very clearly about depending on him and how our weakness in our natural selves is a good thing. And as we know, we're made of spirit, soul and body. We have, if you like, the flesh life, which can operate quite separately from God, making our own choices, decisions, living in a way that doesn't please him, living to please, as the scripture says, the desires or dictates of the flesh. Or we can live by the Spirit, and we want the Holy Spirit to impact our flesh or soul life in an ever-increasing measure. Scripture teaches us that God is changing us from one degree of glory to another. It says, he who's begun a good work in us will bring it to completion. And so there's that sense in Scripture that there's an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that God wants us to cooperate with so that we're changed more into his likeness. Now, many of us spend so much time struggling to do things right and struggling in our own strength, but this is not God's will. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul basically has had some great visions and experiences in God. And in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, let's just pause there for a minute. There's lots of discussion as to what that thorn actually was, whether it was a sickness, a person. For our sake this morning, it really doesn't matter what the thorn was. The fact is, the Apostle Paul was facing some difficulty, as we all do in our lives every day. We may have challenging situations at work. We may have situations that kind of overwhelm us and we just don't know what to do. And Paul here is saying, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This thing was obviously bothering Paul. But God said this to Paul in verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made perfect in weakness. Let's read that again. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you and my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, there's been times in my life where I've, if you like, pleaded with God, as I'm sure you have, to change a situation or a circumstance or to take it away. But often what I find God does in those situations, sometimes he takes it away or changes it, but other times he changes my perspective so that even though the circumstance doesn't change, how I handle the circumstance and situation changes my perspective, reduces stress level and brings me back to being in the peace of God in the middle of that storm, if you like. And what the Apostle Paul was finding here was God saying, whatever the thorny, whatever the thorny situations are in your life, whatever that difficulty represents for you, is probably going to be different to what Paul's situation was. But in a moment, we'll see that there's a kind of hint at what he was dealing with, which are very common to all of us. But God was saying, whatever situation you're going to face, the key thing is that you don't try and sort it out in your own strength. Isn't that amazing? The Apostle Paul was struggling with a situation and God was saying, Paul, this is one for me to deal with. My grace is sufficient for you and my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, your weakness doesn't matter. It's a great place to arrive in the Christian life when we realize that when we are weak, he is strong, because we're basically saying, God, I'm not going to try and sort this out. I am trusting you. Your grace will get me through today. Your grace will enable me to do far more in the spiritual by you working through me than I could possibly do in the natural. And Paul therefore got to a great place. Now, we're not going to teach on this morning, but if you actually read back in scripture as to the giftings Paul had when he was Saul of Tarsus, and how educated he was, how clever he was, he would have been a very self-dependent person. He'd have been very naturally gifted, and he would have actually been very used to dealing with things in his own strength and natural ability. But God brought him to a place here where he was able to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. You know, everything in the natural world says we need to be strong. We need to sort it out. We need to hold it together. But in God's economy, it's the opposite. He's saying, either you will and I won't, or I won't and you will. In other words, God's saying, either I'm going to be in control or you're going to be in control. Now, of course, that doesn't mean to say we don't do anything. I mean, I come into situations where they're beyond my natural human reason. In fact, the scripture calls that mere human reason. And God will come and give me wisdom into a situation and show me how to act and what to do. But I'm still acting then within the grace of God and what he's shown me to do. And the Apostle Paul's getting quite excited here from how I read it. He's saying, I'm going to boast all the more gladly in my weakness, because I know that if I do that, if I acknowledge my weakness before God, if I don't depend on myself, Christ's power will rest on me. And he goes on to say, that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And he came to the place of realization that whatever happens against him, whatever people did behind his back, whatever else was going on with the wrong agenda in his life, and to his face, in persecutions, in imprisonment in his case, in difficulties, he's saying, I've learned to be content because I know Christ's power is resting on me, and he will sort out and bring me into victory in every situation and circumstance that I face. In my own life, I know I've been in ministry for what, I don't know, 20, 30, what, yeah, 38, nearly 40 years, I think, in one way or another. And when I used to preach years ago, you know, I was wanting to see people's lives change, which was a good thing, change for the glory of God, people to become more like Jesus. But I would work so hard in my preaching to convince people. And I came to a realization after a few years, I can't change anyone. I can faithfully speak the word of God. I can faithfully say what he's told me to say, but it's only the Spirit that can change people. And so therefore, now when I preach, I'm far more relaxed. I just stand up, having met with God, say what he's telling me to say, and the results are in his hands. But what I find happens is I can then go home and say, well, I've been faithful, God, and relax and be happy. I've done what you told me to do. What you do with it, God, is up to you. And that's far more fruitful, because you find if you're like that and you say, I'm weak, God, I can't change anyone, but you can change people. The Spirit says, great. And I'm going to move around the church, touching every single life in the way that I want to today. Isn't that fantastic? So I boast in my weakness. I can't change anybody. I can't make anything happen. Even our church is growing in this nation. God says, yeah, you plant, you water, so-and-so waters, but I'm going to make it grow. So it's a good, even in Christian things, we can strive. We can strive to see people saved. We can strive in our own strength to have the best programs and this, that, and the other. But it's far better to say, God, actually, even my best efforts will come to nothing unless you come by your Spirit and you take control of these situations and circumstances. And then what I do will be in response to what you, Holy Spirit, are actually showing me to do. Hallelujah. So I just hope that encourages you in some way this morning. Maybe you're facing a difficult family situation, a work situation. You've prayed for ages. You're just wondering what's going on. And God comes along today and he says, as you depend on me, as you admit you can't change it, let my Spirit come upon you and begin to work. You'll see different results. When you admit that your weakness is a benefit to you, because you're no longer trusting in what you can do, but in what my Spirit can do, which is far greater. You know, another scripture says, I think it's Ephesians, you can check it yourself. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more, far more than we can think or imagine. So it's better to have Jesus operating through you by the Spirit, doing the far more than you can think or imagine, than you doing the limited amount that you're able to do in your own strength. When we want to see, sometimes I know people come along to church and they want to see their husbands or wives saved, and they nag them and nag them and nag them, and nothing ever happens. But when you begin to say, God, actually, I can't change him or her. I can't make that happen. But God, Lord, I just come to you and ask Holy Spirit, you'll begin to work in that heart. You'll begin to bring the change. Then God listens to that. Be careful with that one, though, because I often find when I ask God to change someone else, the change is actually needing to happen in me. You know, we can say, oh, God, change that person. They're awful. They're this, that or the other. And God might say, well, actually, if you started to love them, maybe they would change. Not always, but there are situations where, you know, remember when you're praying for someone else, God, as far as you're concerned, is more interested in what's happening in your heart. And time and time again, I find that happening in me, even if I'm in a situation of conflict with somebody. And I'm saying, actually, God, what, you know, they may have done, been unfair, said horrendous things, stabbed me in the back. It can be anything. But even in that, when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. You know, in my own life, God will show me how to pray in the situation. He'll show me why people are often like they are, and enable me to then take the initiative and help bring change and healing into relationships. So I'm just saying, be careful when you're praying for someone. God, change them, change them, change them. Well, actually, it's often you that actually God wants to change. Saying God work in their heart in the only way you know, by your Spirit, Lord. And then God may begin to show you different ways to pray into those situations. But I'm getting off subject a little bit. Other than to say what I've just said is saying, Lord, I don't know how to pray with this. I'm not seeing what you're seeing, but God, I come in weakness. Would you strengthen me by the how? Would your power rest on me that I may know how to pray and how to speak into that situation? So I hope that's good. I'm going to be trying to, I hope that's helpful to you. I know it's good because it's the word of God. I'm going to be posting on a more regular basis up onto the website now. If you're interested in listening on a more regular basis, you're welcome to. You can see on our website that when our Sunday services are 10:30, we have a midweek prayer meeting at the church, I think 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. And there's something also, if you're a WhatsApp person, that I do called at PDS for Pastor Dave Shipham, at PDS Truth. And I do a PDS Truth most mornings during term time to encourage people, encourage myself as well, and get built up in the word. I know there's loads of speakers and so much stuff out there, but you know, if one person benefits from it, then it's worth my while doing it. So God bless you guys. Thanks for listening in today. And come to God and say, God, forgive me when I've been trying to do things in my own strength. Lord, I celebrate my weakness. I give up. I give up trying to sort it out. Jesus, would your power rest on me? Would your grace be sufficient for me, and your power made perfect in weakness, that you'd lead me forward in the power of the Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen.